All right, John chapter 6, I want you to look at one verse down, verse 67. Verse 67, I have preached 32 times this last year on some of the great questions in the Bible. And this morning, I'm going to bring that series to a close with this question that's found in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Man, what a question. What a question. Will ye also go away? Now, I want you to look at who he was talking to. I want you to look at who he was talking to. He was talking to his disciples. Listen, he was talking to people that had been with him. These disciples, they had been with him for they had been with him for 3 years. They had walked with him. They had talked with him. They had eaten with him. They had been in his presence and been taught by him. And, hey, we're not talking about the crowd that would follow Jesus around. There was a crowd that would follow Jesus around because they just wanted to see a miracle, all right? We still have people like that. We want to see people want to see something that's strange and miraculous and said, I saw something nobody ever seen before. And so still people like that today, but that wasn't the crowd. Hey, it wasn't the crowd that came and followed the Lord Jesus because they remembered the two occasions where he had taken what we might call a sack lunch and fed the multitude, all right? There's always people that want to be fed physically, all right? Want to be fed physically. If you hear about food, we'll go. So I'll be there if there's going to be food, all right? There was a crowd like that, but that's not the crowd, okay? That's not the crowd he was asking. The crowd he was asking the question to was his disciples. His disciples. At all, he's talking to them. But I want you to notice when this question was asked. We could have taken the time this morning to begin reading a lot earlier in the sixth chapter of John and read a lot of verses, and I'll leave you that opportunity. You can do that this afternoon to get the setting and the context, but this question was asked because a group of people that had been following him had walked away. Back up, verse 66. Look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Walked no more with him. This was a group, notice, of disciples. Now, normally when we think of disciples, we think of 12. We think of 12 men, you know, James and John and Peter and the rest of those that you can't name, right? You say, preacher, do you know them? I could come pretty close. But the truth of the matter is that's the group we normally think of. But the truth is disciples were those that followed Christ. And I believe it wouldn't be a stretch to have called these people believers, okay? I don't believe we'd be doing a disservice. And by the way, notice, it wasn't a small group. The Bible says many, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It was a big group of them. Now, why? Why? Now, I'll be honest, that's the question that I want to capture your attention with today. Why was it? Why would a group of believers walk away from Jesus Christ and literally say, we're not following him anymore? We're done. We're done. Why would that happen? I'll be honest, I submit to you today, I think it's for the same reason people walk away from him today. People walk away from him today. It's not an unknown situation in our day where people that have followed the Lord, many of them for years, just suddenly decide to walk away from him. I've known several people like that, and I can think of several people today that I've known that have done the same thing. Now, I'll be honest with you. When that happens, it always causes me to scratch my head and say, why? 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 Well, let me just give you, I think, maybe five things that'll cause people to do that, all right? Five reasons, if you will, five things. One is people get discouraged. People get discouraged. Now, you've never been discouraged, have you? Well, most of us have, all right? Hey, this year, It's been a discouraging year. We've not been able to do things we like to do, not been able to do things the way we normally do it, and it can be somewhat discouraging. And discouragement can be a killer, folks. I just tell you, it can be a killer. Folks, they say, what causes people to get discouraged? Well, oftentimes people get discouraged when they can't do, all right, or they think they can't do what is asked of them. Somebody said, well, this is what I'd like for you to do, and people get discouraged because they think, I can't do that. Or maybe they give it a sort of half-hearted try, and they fail at it, and they go, well, I'm just discouraged. Discouragement. People go to college. They get into college, and they have troubles, and maybe they fail a class, and they get discouraged, and they quit. It happens to some before they ever get to college. It happens to those in high school. For whatever reason comes along, they get discouraged and then they quit. They quit. They bail out. Sometimes it's only a half-hearted effort, you know. And some people get discouraged by circumstances. We talk about this year, the circumstances, the conditions that have prevailed. That can be discouraging. Suicides have gone up this year. People get discouraged. People get discouraged. Sometimes people who have failed in the past get convinced they're going to fail again, so they walk away. Some people get discouraged in their Christian life. They get discouraged in their Christian life. And they look at it, and sometimes people look at it and say, man, I can't do all that stuff. I just can't do everything that it seems like everybody expects me to do. I can't do it. And they get discouraged. And because of that discouragement, they walk away. Hey, folks, listen, I've known preachers that quit. And quit on God. Why? They got discouraged. They got discouraged. Can I just be honest with you? This year has been a discouraging year for me. Discouraging. You said, did you get discouraged? I was headed that way a time or two. All right, and I knew I was headed that way a time or two. It can be discouraging when you have to gather together early in all of this pandemic stuff that's out there. We had no services, and I'm sitting at a desk preaching to a microphone. That's kind of the way I felt. I was looking in this camera, but it was about that far away from me across the desk, and there were four or five people that were there in that room with us, and I just want to tell you, so I was a little discouraging. And then we shifted over, and I tried a few times to get up here and pre-record the message that we were trying to get out. And I stood in front of up here, and there was myself, there's Brother Dunbar, and there was all these empty pews. I just want to tell you something. You think preaching is an easy thing? Try it when you're preaching to a bunch of empty pews. You have to almost imagine that somebody's really listening, all right? Somebody's really there. It can be discouraging. Some people get discouraged and they quit. That's the reason some people fall out as Christians and quit following the Lord, get away from Him. They go away from Him. You say, preacher, how do you handle it? Well, the Bible in the Old Testament talks about David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, sometimes you just got to do that. Sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. There's nobody else around to pat you on the back and tell you how wonderful you are. So you just take your hand, raise it up like this, put it back here, pat yourself on the back, and said, you're a wonderful person. Amen. Yes. And you got to realize you just have to encourage yourself, all right? Amen. Just encourage yourself. Nobody else is around. The devil's there, and he's whispered in one ear telling you, just quit, just quit, just quit. But you encourage yourself, all right? Encourage yourself in the Lord. You said, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. See, we're too quick to say, I can't. We're way too quick to say, I can't. So what do? Well, you encourage yourself, all right? You encourage yourself. I've often done that, all right? There's been numerous times that the alarm clock has gone off. Or usually I get up without an alarm clock. And I can kind of pretty much get myself up pretty much any time. But sometimes, you know, I'll crack my eye open and I'll look and see the time on the clock. And I go, Oh, nuts. And I lay there and I open my eyes, look at the ceiling, and then close my eyes and turn over. I'm not interested in looking at the ceiling anymore. And I just have to encourage myself to get up, all right? Get up. Now, the old bed feels good. Feels good. Just have to encourage yourself. You can do it. Encourage yourself. Hey, listen, as a child of God, you find yourself getting a little bit discouraged. You find yourself, hey, you maybe you failed. Hey, encourage yourself. Get up. Amen. Just get up, all right? Remember what it was like when you were trying to learn to skate or learn to ride a bicycle? I don't know anybody that jumped on the bicycle the first time and just took off. Everybody I know has wrecked it. It falls over. And I mean, you know, that's just part of learning to ride a bike. You got skin up a little bit. But you didn't say, I'm done. Well, listen, it and following the Lord Jesus Christ a lot more important than riding a stupid bicycle. Oh, encourage yourself. Amen. Encourage yourself. Hey, people go away. Why? They get discouraged. Some people go away because they get disturbed. They get disturbed. Listen, I think that's what happened right here in John chapter 6. The Lord Jesus Christ had taught them some things. And he had spoken to them. And at one point in this chapter, verse 60, it says, many therefore his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Man said, that's tough. That's hard to listen to. What they heard disturbed them. And because they got disturbed about what they heard, they went away. I think of the rich young ruler. The Bible talks about him coming to the Lord. And what a testimony he had. Amen. He said, what good thing can I do that I may have inherit eternal life? And the Lord began to name some things. And that rich young ruler said, man, I've kept all of those since I was a kid. I'm in good shape. I've done all of that. And then the Lord said, well, there's one thing you lack. So what you need to do is you need to go sell everything you have and then you come follow me. Come follow me. You know what happened? That disturbed that rich young ruler. He said, man, that's kind of tough, you know. That's kind of difficult. And because it disturbed him, the Bible said he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. Hey, why? He was disturbed by what he heard. Now, people get disturbed by what they hear. And you know what? Sometimes people come to church and the preacher preaches and they get disturbed by what they hear. And some have been known to go out the back door and say, I'm never coming back. Why? Well, they got disturbed. But part of that disturbance, if you'll stay with me just a little bit, was because of a lack of understanding. They needed to learn a little more. That's here in John chapter 6. These people that heard him, they were followers of the Lord. What they heard disturbed them, but they didn't grasp it all right? They understood a little bit, but they didn't get the hang of all that was said. And because they didn't, they took that little bit, and that point disturbed them and said, I'm leaving. I'm done, all right? Can I say this to you? And if you get offended, you'll know what you are. It's easy to disturb babies. It's easy to disturb babies. Man, when our kids were little, I can remember the time, you know, you're trying to get them to go to sleep. And you do whatever works for yours, you know. We've had, there were times where we were driving along and I'd look at my wife and say, is he asleep? She'd look over and say, not yet. We'd take another lap around the block, all right? Drive just a little bit further. Because he was going, all right? Yep. And then hopefully he's asleep, and you go take as gently as you can, which is hard to do out of a stupid car seat, all right? But as gently as you can, you reach in there and try to pick him up and put him there and shh, open the door quietly. Yep. Take him into the room, lay him in the bed. You know, you go through all of that. Right. Everything's good. You walk out the door. They're easily disturbed. They're easily disturbed. Hey, that's true with newborn Christians. Sometimes baby Christians are easily disturbed. They get upset. Now, and oftentimes it's because of a lack of understanding. It's not that anything. If we really understood all that there was, instead of getting disturbed in the house of God by what is preached and what is taught, hang around a little bit and see if you got the whole story, okay? Stay with it just a little bit longer. Learn a little bit more. You might find out, well, hey, you know what? That makes perfect sense. Those fellows, those folks there in John chapter 6, if they had stayed around a little longer, might have decided, you know, that's not as hard a saying as I thought the first time I heard it. Hey, the remember the first time you heard that you're supposed to tithe?
Come on, brother.
Do what? Preacher, you're telling me that I'm supposed to give God 10% of everything. You're telling me that every week, no matter what, don't you understand I have bills?
Yeah.
Preacher, you're trying to tell me that that 90% will go as far as that 100% will? It will. It'll do better than that. But I'll tell you what, first time you heard that, you didn't say, oh yeah, I've been looking forward to hearing that. I knew something was missing in my life, and it's giving. And then the preacher not only says that, he gets them to have a mission conference, say you ought to give more than your tithe. What?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you say, well, that's a hard saying. Well, wait a minute, hang around a little bit, put it into try it out, see what God will do for you. Just see what God will do for you. Don't be too quick. Don't go away because you get disturbed. Hey, not only that, people go away because they get disgruntled. They get disgruntled. The best illustration I could come up with disgruntled is the Israelites in the wilderness. From the time they came out of Egypt until the time they crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, it wound up being 40 years. But that's their own fault. It was 40 years because of their own fault. It could have been a very short time. They could have been in the Promised Land enjoying the good things of God if they would. But man, they could get disgruntled quicker than anything or anybody I've ever seen or thought about. I mean, whatever it was, they'd get disgruntled because there was lack of food. We don't have anything to eat. God says, okay, I'll give you manna. I'll give you manna. You won't even have to cook it. All you got to do is go out and pick it up. All you got to do is go out and pick it up. Just pick it up. You know, hey, just pick up every day. Just don't only pick up one day's worth.
That's right.
Of course, there was people just like here in the pandemic, they needed 6 months of toilet paper, right? Well, there was people that couldn't just be content with one day's worth of food. They had to load up and say, man, we got it. Let's get it. The next day, they opened that up and it spoiled.
Right. Amen.
God said, I told you just one day, if you go out again, it's there again. And then you got people that came that sixth day and they said, well, we're not getting extra this time, even though God said to get extra.
Yeah.
And so they go out on the Sabbath and there wasn't any there. And then they griped about it.
Amen.
Disgruntled.
Right.
And then after a while, they were disgruntled because all we got to eat is manna.
That's right. Yeah.
All we got to eat. So God said, okay, I'll send you quail.
That's right.
I'll give you quail. I'm sure somebody said, why can't we have dove? All right. I mean, I'm sure somebody complained. Well, how about a little chicken, Lord? All right. Well, they were just disgruntled people. And then there wasn't enough water. I mean, it's just one thing after another. You know, I'm amazed people get today the same way. They get disgruntled over what God has given or has not given them. And they decide if that's the way it's going to be, I'm going to walk away from him. I'm done. So, preacher, how do you deal with that? Well, could you learn to be content? Could you just learn to be content? Learn to be content. A lot of God's people are like kids at Christmas. A lot of God's people are like kids at Christmas. They're not happy with what they've got. Not happy. I remember my dad telling us when my brother and I were kids, he said, Christmas for me when I was a kid was a few nuts, a piece of fruit. And if we were lucky,
yeah, come on.
We were especially blessed,
yes, sir.
We might have one thing to play with. I remember him telling about just getting a hoop and a stick to roll it with. Can you imagine today, kid coming out and Christmas morning, come out the Christmas tree and they go, "What's that?" Well, that's a hoop. What do you do with it? We see that laying to it? Yeah, it's a stick. Well, you take that stick and you get that hoop out and you roll it and you chase it and keep rolling it.
That's right. Amen.
You got to be kidding.
Oh, yeah.
You mean it won't do it itself? Well, surely it'll play music while we're going along. Something else, okay? No, it's just a stick and a hoop and you roll it. Enjoy yourself. Ah, mercy. But that's the way we Christians are. We're not content with what God's done for us. We're not content. We say, Lord, how about a little more? Or why can't I have what so-and-so has? We get disgruntled. Bless your heart. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. Just learn to be content with such things as you have. All right? But people go away because they get disgruntled. Not only that, people go away because they disagree. They disagree. You know, there may not be a quicker way to bring about separation with folks than to have a disagreement.
Amen.
So how do people disagree with God? They do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Do it all the time. Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer the way I wanted it answered? Why'd you do that? I'm thinking today of some folks I love. And I'm just serious as I can be. I love them. Known them for years. They had a child die. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. Hardest thing in the world maybe to deal with is the death of a child.
Amen.
And a very hard thing to deal with. But they had a child died. And they got bitter against God. Bitter, Lord, why? Why'd you do that? I've known, we had a girl rode our bus for a good long while, lived right down here in the trailer park across the railroad tracks over here. Rode the bus a long time, quit coming, went to see her. I said, "Matt, listen, we miss you. I'm not coming anymore." "Well, what's wrong? What's happened?" "God let my grandpa die. I'm not coming." Never came back. Never came back. Why? Well, we disagreed with what God did. We disagree with what God did. We ask God for things, and God sees fit to not do it the way we want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do? Well, they quit. They go away. They go away, so I'm not following you anymore. I'm done. People disagree with the preacher. And they have a disagreement, oftentimes without even checking to see if there might have been a misunderstanding.
Right.
Had a school teacher one time, who, by the way, I still love, count as a friend. They've passed away now, but one time a teacher was working for us in a Christian school, and they left that one day because of a situation that happened. And instead of coming and asking, "Hey, preacher, what about this? You know, could you tell me?" And I didn't get a chance to go to them, but they just left. Come to find out, really, turned out we were in total agreement. The only thing we disagreed with is just in the exact details of what we were doing. But it was too late. It was too late. The damage was done. Now, we remain friends, all right? We remain friends. Hey, can I say this to you? When you think God hasn't done the way you think he should have done, could you just decide that, Lord, for right now, we'll agree to disagree? We'll just agree to disagree. Because one of these days you're going to stand in his presence. You got a question and you can ask him. He'll, by the way, the song's right. It says we'll understand it better by and by.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Well, we don't understand everything. Say, "Preacher, do you understand?" No.
Nope.
Nope. A lot of things I don't understand. I can tell you about missionaries who went to the mission field, serving God, language school, got killed in a car wreck, said, "God, why'd you do that?"
Yeah.
Why didn't you kill some worthless child of God here that's an embarrassment and got a lousy testimony? Why would you take the life and allow that one to get killed that's there serving you? So, preacher, can you explain it? Nope. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I guess in one sense you might say I disagree with God. But we can agree to disagree. We can agree to disagree. Hey, could I just say this to you on a practical level between you and other people? Sometimes it's okay if you just agree to disagree. Just agree to disagree. Man, you don't have to be in total agreement about everything. You know, some people are ignorant and they root for the wrong football team. I don't understand you, all right? But the Bible says let them that be ignorant still, all right? I don't understand that, but fine, I'm not going to let that cause a problem. We can agree to disagree.
Amen.
You know, better thing what we do, we could look for where we agree.
Come on. Amen.
Let's look for agreement. Let's look for agreement. You know, I tell you that in some sense, I might disagree with God and the way that allowing one to die and one to live, and I don't understand it. But you know what? When I begin to look at how much I agree, it far surpasses the disagreement. The disagreement is down here minuscule, if you will. But the agreement is amazing. Amazing. Hey, will you also go away just because you disagree? Would you do that? Number five, you know why a lot of people go away? They forget. They forget. Now, I don't have statistics to prove what I'm about to say. Because as far as I know, there's never been a poll. We take polls of everything today. But as far as I know, there's never been a poll taken of people that have just walked away and from the Lord. And who's going to say, well, I walked away because I forgot what God had done. People are not going to do that. But I believe this may be the problem of most people that walk away from God. We forget. We just forget. We forget the goodness of God. We forget the goodness of God. You ever stop and think about how good God's been to you?
Oh, yes.
You ever stop and just think? Now, I encourage you to do it every now and then.
Amen.
I'm trying to remember, is this past week, I was driving somewhere, and I'd been somewhere, and man, all of a sudden there in the car, I just got to thinking, God, you sure been good to this old boy right here.
Amen.
You have been good to me. And I think about that. What a blessing. How good God has been. You ought to stop and think about His goodness to you. The blessings He sent your way. I have two kids. They're grown and I didn't have to kill either one of them, all right? Yet. God's good, all right? God is good to me. He's good. The grandkids come over, but thank God they go home, all right? I enjoy them. I love them while they're there. My wife and I this past week, we had family in and out, you know, and everything. I just want to tell you something. I love them, I love them, I love them, but I sure am glad when they go home. It's just peaceful and calm, you know, calm around the house. You can sit down in the chair without worrying about the dog jumping on you, all right? And it's just, it's a wonderful thing. Hey, boy, listen, you just thank God for His goodness to you. We live our lives thinking about what he's got and they've got and I wish I had. Well, wait a minute. Look at all them and think about the problems they have you don't have.
Yes, sir. Amen. Come on.
You don't have them.
That's right.
You don't have them.
Thank you.
And God, He's been good to you.
Yes, sir.
People forget the goodness of God. They forget the grace of God. My friend, listen, if you're on your way to heaven, you're on your way to heaven for one reason, because of the grace of God. Grace of God. Every one of us sitting here, including the one that's standing here, deserves hell. I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God, not because of me. Not because of anything good I've done, but because of His grace. Well, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. If you're thinking, I'm okay because I'm a good person, you're lost and headed for hell. It's only by the grace of God. It was the grace of God that sent His Son to die for you. The Bible says, "And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What? That's all His grace. That's all His grace. We have the opportunity to get things we do not deserve. Just the grace of God. The grace of God. You ever think, and you're driving down the road, and there's a wreck right in front of you? You ever been in that situation? You ever stop to think that's the grace of God that you weren't there? You weren't there. And a lot of times, you know, it's not because of the carelessness of that one. Somebody else did something. Hey, that vehicle jumps the median and lands on a vehicle here. That person, you're driving along down the freeway and somebody drops a rock off.
Yeah.
I had a guy that I knew as a kid and knew his mom and dad. He was grown at the time, young man. I believe he's driving on the airport freeway. A piece of junk fell off of a junk truck, landed on the pavement, jumped up, came through his windshield, and it severed the arteries in his neck, nearly decapitated him. He died on the side of the road. He was able to drive off. I tell you, you ever think about the grace of God to you? You've seen that stuff fall off and you dodged it? Or it went over you? The grace of God. The grace of God. We forget the grace of God. We forget His goodness. We forget His grace, His blessings. We forget the help that God has blessed us with. We walk away from Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We forget. Question. Will ye also go away? Wait a minute, preacher. Come on now. Why would you ask me that? You know, I dare say if we'd asked some of these folks here in John chapter 6 the day before this happened, they would have said, remember what Peter said? "Lord, though everybody deny you, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you." A few hours later, he said, "Never knew him. Never knew him. I don't know him. You got the wrong guy." Question, will you go away? Are you going to become just a statistic? Just another one who fell out along the road of life? And you got a little discouraged. You got disturbed about something. You got disgruntled. You disagreed. Or you just forget. Will you also go away? Let me say this to you. I believe if you do, it'll be your fault, not God's fault.
Amen.
It'll be your fault. You say, "Well, I'm not planning to." Well, these folks didn't plan to either. Circumstances came along. You know, I'm reminded of a verse in the Bible, Psalm 34, verse 8. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Well, when you get tempted to go away, could you just hang in there, back up a little bit, go taste and see. The Lord's good. The Lord's good. Hey, His grace has been extended to you. I want to say this to you. His grace is sufficient for you. For you. You say, "Well, I don't know what's going to come." Me either. But I know His grace will be sufficient. Hey, I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want you to be known that way either. Rather than go away, how about deciding I'm going all the way? I'm going all the way. You know, every now and then there comes a time, I think, in the life of a believer, just every once in a while, we need to renew our vow to God. Say, "Lord, I'm good. I'm good. We're going all the way." I see people that'll have their 50th wedding anniversary and they'll renew their vows. They'll renew their vows. And boy, people say, "That's a good thing. That's a good thing." Can I say this? It's good for you to renew your vow to God. "Lord, you saved me. I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you." Be like Ruth was there to Naomi over in the book of Ruth. She had married one of Naomi's sons, and he had died. And she had a sister-in-law named Orpha. Naomi had two sons. The sons had died. Her husband had died while they were outside where they were supposed to be. And Naomi finally decided, well, I'm going back. I'm going back to where I came from, where I should have stayed. I'm going back. And she looked at her two daughters-in-laws and she said, y'all just might as well stay here in Moab. There's nothing for you there. You'll be a stranger in a country. And Orpha, the Bible says, she kissed Naomi and said, see ya. But Ruth said, I'm going wherever you go. Whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people will be my people, and thy God will be my God. And I tell you what, that's kind of vow God's people need to give. And we remind ourselves every now and then, Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not cutting out on you. I'm not backing away from you. I'm not going away from you. I'm here and I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I mean, just not going to let anything interfere with it. But I'm going all the way. Hey, what a question to consider. Will you also go away? Now, right now, if you're a child of God, right now, if it's a child of God, and you've got any relationship with him at all, you're sitting there thinking, I'd never do it. But you better be careful. You don't know what circumstance can take place. You don't know what can happen. You need that dedication. You need that vow. Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Doesn't matter. Come what may, doesn't matter what happens. I'm with you. I'll follow you, Lord, to the end of the earth. I'm with you. Lord, like Job, though thou slay me, yet will I trust him. Lord, the only way you're going to get me is kill me. And then I'm going to be in your presence. So if that's what you want to do, go ahead. How about it? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us today. Lord, I know there's circumstances arise. I know conditions change. Problems come up. And Lord, things happen that cause your people to consider going away, to cease following you. Lord, we need to consider that question, will ye go away also? We need to consider it. Lord, we need to make a decision today and decide, nope, I'm with you. Come what may, I'm following you, Lord. I'm sticking with you. You can't get rid of me. I'm with you. I'll follow you wherever. Lord, help us to make that vow. But Lord, truth be told, there's somebody here that's lost. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they were to die today, they'd split hell wide open. Lord, I pray you'd not let that happen. I ask you to bring conviction, help them to see their need of a Savior right now. And that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction. They'd have the courage to step out and walk down this aisle, meet me here at the front and say, Preacher, I'll take Christ as my Savior. I want to trust him. Lord, would you deal with every one of us, the lost and the saved. Help us to see what we need to do and do it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we get ready to sing the invitation hymn? God's speaking to you. Listen, maybe you just need to renew that vow, Lord. I'm with you. I'm not going away. Whatever the need might be, the invitation's for you. The altar's here. If you need to come, would you come? If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, would you trust him today? Would you come take my hand right here at the front and say, Preacher, I want to trust Christ. We'll have somebody take the Bible. Make sure you understand completely what you're doing. Would you come while we sing this verse? Come on, come on.